Hello, welcome back. Episode number 7 of the new season, if you like. And we are continuing with chapters from the book. First chapter is all about total daily energy expenditure. So in the last episode or the chapters of the book, we were looking at the calorie and we were looking at the fundamentals of fat loss and this whole energy in, energy out sort of balance that we're looking for. And that is fact, if you like. Although I'm not a big fan of that word. But it's not, it's simple. The idea is simple, but the actual doing of the simple is not so simple, if that makes any sense whatsoever. And the reason being, we can reasonably guess how much food we're putting in to a reasonable accuracy, if you like. But getting the balance right of what we're actually using in a day-to-day basis is very, very difficult. And the reason for is what makes up that total daily energy expenditure, which is what this whole chapter is about. And it breaks it down into the four sort of areas, if you like, that make up the sum. So we've got a 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 4. But actually, to make it a little bit more accurate is if our energy expenditure is equaling, to keep it simple maths, of a 10, actually it's probably more like a 4 + 3 + 2 + 1 in terms of the amount of energy that each area takes up. So enough waffling. I'm just going to get into reading. The first chapter is good. The second chapter I'm going to read it's almost a bit of a list, really, because we're looking at the roles and benefits of nutrients. And it'll make a bit more sense when we get there. So this might be a slightly longer episode, because that second chapter is a little bit longer. But I will get on with it nonetheless. Total daily energy expenditure, or TDEE. Having previously learnt about the calorie, in terms of the calorie being the body's currency for energy, total daily energy expenditure is the entire number of calories your body will use. This can be broken down into four parts, each of which we will cover in detail below. Basal metabolic rate, or BMR, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, or NEAT, N-E-A-T, exercise activity thermogenesis, EAT, or EAT, and the thermic effect of food, TEF. These four components make up your total calorie expenditure for the day. The higher the numerical value you can get this, in theory, the easier it will be to reduce body fat, as this will outweigh the food you are consuming. The basal metabolic rate. Your BMR is your largest section of your TDEE. If you imagine that when you woke up, you did nothing. You didn't get up. You just lay there, didn't even move to turn the TV on. When bedtime came back around, you went back to sleep and then woke again the following morning. Your body will still burn calories. All the functions the body needs to process during the day, breathing, brain function, circulatory system, nervous system, all requires calories in order for your body to keep itself alive. Pretty cool, right? You are burning calories without doing anything. Depending on the physical makeup of your body, height, weight, age, male or female, and condition of your body, lean mass in relation to fat mass, bone size, etc., will all have an effect on your BMR, which is why a 55 kilogram 20-year-old female will have a very different BMR to a 40-year-old male weighing 85 kilos. Based on this knowledge and this knowledge alone, having a recommended daily allowance on food labels can be hugely scrutinised. As who exactly are these labels being aimed at? The 20-year-old female or the 40-year-old male? This is also why the recommended calorie intake for female of 2,000 calories and 2,500 for males should be taken with a pinch of salt. No pun intended, maybe a little bit. Your BMR will change. It will change with age as you get older. It will change if you impart physical anthropometric changes on your body, basically meaning reducing body fat or developing muscle. The point to note here is that your current makeup of your body determines your basal metabolic rate. There is a calculation to work this out, which will be covered in greater detail in another chapter. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis, or NEAT. If you do anything, and I mean anything during the day, it involves a physical action outside of planned exercise. It falls into this section. Walking, gardening, cooking, typing on the laptop, as I'm doing now, all adds up to activity. Big gains can be made in this section of your TDEE. Just consciously being more active. Instead of sitting in front of the TV, being outside walking burns more calories. Instead of taking the lift, walking the stairs burns more calories. Instead of driving and parking at the door, park the other end of the car park and walk in. Add this up over a year, you are making big advantages. It also means your car is less likely to be scratched because it's parked at the quietest part of the car park. You can thank me for that later. Any additional movement you do all increases your NEAT. So start moving more and we are already making progress. Exercise activity thermogenesis, or EAT. This is your planned exercise section. On top of your daily activity, your general moving about, as discussed above, adding an exercise routine can hugely alter calorie expenditure for the day, both in terms of burning calories for energy, as well as changing your body's physical makeup through exercise to increase your BMR. Think of exercise as a tool. Each tool has its own job or role, but ultimately a tool is there to help. There are different types of exercise, and finding the right one for you can be tricky. Take your pick. Running, cycling, circuits, boot camp, CrossFit, home workouts, bodybuilding, Pilates, Zumba, the list goes on. All of these will burn extra calories in their own way. 30 minutes of running may burn 300 calories. 30 minutes of Zumba may burn 200. 1 hour of bodyweight resistance training may burn 400. Each will burn a slightly different number of calories based on the intensity and duration of the session. Increasing the frequency of these sessions will also burn more calories. For example, if you commit to 5 sessions a week instead of 3, you'll be expending more calories in a week. At this point, it's good to make reference to the physical adaptation that the body can make as a result of the particular type of exercise you are doing. Ultimately, whenever we exercise, we are causing the body stress, stimuli, and damage. This is what makes the body respond and become fitter, stronger, and healthier. To digress a little, if you want to become stronger, you lift weights. You damage the muscles, the body repairs them, and they are stronger for next time. Much the same theory as running. If you run 8 miles, your body repairs muscles, heart, and lungs, so in theory, next time you can run for 9 miles, or you run 8 miles a little quicker. It's the same for calorie burning. You exercise, you burn calories. The body now wants to become more efficient in its use of its calories, so it prepares the body to become more efficient with its fuel. The physical adaptations made from a frequent resistance training program have the potential to far outweigh that of a running training program in regard to fat loss. This is not to say one method of exercise is better than any other. It depends on your goals and how well you are able to follow the plan. You can have the best training program in the world, but if you cannot follow it regularly, its benefits become void. Thermic effect of food. There is a reason TEF has been left until last. It makes up around 10% of your TDEE, depending on what research you read. In the grand scale of things, you can't affect this amount significantly. Thermic effect of food is the additional calories it takes your body to digest and store food. After all, it is a process which requires energy. One of the myths to debunk here is the notion that eating little and often increases TEF. Research has shown it has little to no effect if the overall calorie content remains the same. The calorific value and nutrient makeup of your food is what affects thermic effect of food. Fats are relatively easy to digest and store, therefore use less energy. Protein, another reason high protein diets yield good results for fat loss, are harder to break down and store, and therefore use more energy. One last point, it has been seen that particular food, celery and grapefruit, have a negative energy effect, as in it takes more calories of energy to digest the food than is actually contained in it. Where this comes from, researchers aren't quite sure, but there is no research that suggests this to be true. And that is the end of that chapter. Really useful, that one, I think. I think it's really, really useful to understand how your body uses calories, okay, and how you can influence. The biggest one here, I think, apart from exercise, is this non-exercise activity. So just being active. And if you think this car parking one is brilliant, if you, I mean, I can't do the maths. I'm not even going to attempt to do the maths on here now. But if you think you walk an extra 100 yards a day because you park the car just 50 yards away from where you work because you have to walk there and back, add those 100 yards up over a 5-day week. That's 500 yards. Times that by the amount of weeks you work in a year. The difference you have made is huge. Just from a tiny little change of parking the car slightly further away. You know, think about it. If you've got a 1 mile walk to work or something, instead of driving the car, you walked that 1 mile every day, there and back. That's 2 miles. It's 104 miles a year. No, it's not. That's a lie. It would be, not far off 700 if you worked every day in a year. It is crazy the amount of difference you can make with just a few little changes. Just a few. Right. I'm going to move on now. I'm going to move on to the roles and benefits of nutrients. So this talks about our big nutrients at the beginning, and then it goes down into quite a lot of detail in the different vitamins and minerals and things like that. And actually, what I'm going to do, I'm not actually going to read them all, because that is going to be very boring to listen to. This is not a plug to read the book or go and buy the book, but if you want to find out about particular vitamins and minerals and things like that, and I'm going to pick a few out to tell you, this stuff is all found on Google. This is not things that I have written. All right, I'm not going to take benefit or claim of them. So if there's a particular vitamin you want to find about, if you just Google what you are looking for, it's going to come up with more or less the same things that I'm going to say. So I'm just going to pick a few out. But I'll tell you when I'm going to do that. So next chapter, the roles and benefits of nutrients. This section of the book is going to cover lots of information, very structured in the way it is set out, designed to be a section you can refer back to time and again. Should you have any issues surrounding the nutrients that make up your diet, every food contains nutrients which provide specific roles and functions for the body. This chapter will cover many of them, including the big three macronutrients, along with the micronutrients. It will cover briefly the roles they play in the body and why they are important, and the food sources that contain the different nutrients which you should look to include in your diet. I should point out here that this section doesn't take into account any allergies or food intolerances which individuals may have. So macronutrients then. First one, protein, the function. Protein is essential for repair of cells and their structure. It also plays an important role in the regulation of the body's tissues and organs. Proteins are made up of amino acids, which have differing roles within the body. Sources include meat, poultry, fish, eggs, nuts, pulses. Fats. Function. Provides structural integrity to cell membranes. Acts as a raw material for conversion into other materials and is a supply of energy for the body. Fats are structured and categorized by many different means, by the length of the fatty acid chain and their saturation. Sources include meats, fatty fish, nuts, avocados, oils, butter, and olives. Carbohydrates. Function. Carbohydrates are the body's main source of energy, can be split into starches or sugars. Simply put, all carbs are broken down into glucose and used by the body. Either used there and then as glucose, stored as glycogen in muscles and liver, or stored in fat stores. Sources include fruit, vegetables, rice, bread, pasta, potato, oats, sweets, and sugar. Okay, so they're the big three. And it's important to get a mix of the three because of the role that they play in the body. Moving on to a couple of the micronutrients. So we're going to start with vitamin A. The function is essential for growth, critical for vision, keeps tissue and skin healthy, and it has been suggested it plays a role in bone growth and the prevention of osteoporosis, can lower the risk of lung cancer. Sources include beef, liver, eggs, fish, cheddar cheese, sweet potato, carrots, pumpkin, spinach, and mangoes. Vitamin E function has antioxidant properties and helps neutralize unstable molecules that can damage cells, can protect against cardiovascular disease, cancer, and the oxidation of low-density lipoproteins or lipoproteins, may help prevent Alzheimer's. Sources include vegetable oils, salad dressings, wheat germ, leafy green vegetables, whole grains, and nuts. Vitamin K function required for synthesis of several proteins necessary for blood clotting and bone structure may help prevent hip fractures. Sources include cabbage, liver, eggs, milk, spinach, broccoli, sprouts, and kale. Going to move on all the way over to vitamin C. Function capable of being both an antioxidant and a prooxidant, depending on what the body needs. Vitamin C sequesters free radicals in the body. Its structure allows it to act on neurology and depression, as well as modulate cortisol. Its antioxidant properties mean it provides neuroprotective effects and benefits for blood flow. It can also preserve testosterone levels, often used as a reference drug in antioxidant research. Sources include citrus fruits and juices, potatoes, broccoli, peppers, spinach, strawberries, tomatoes, and sprouts. Calcium. Its function builds and protects bones and teeth, helps with muscle contraction and relaxation. Blood clotting and nerve impulse transmission, plays a role in hormone secretion and enzyme activation. Sources include yogurt, cheese, milk, tofu, sardines, salmon, and leafy green vegetables. Calcium is really important, really, really important in muscle contraction. Not a lot of people know that it is involved in the chemical reaction of muscle contraction. Iron. Function helps ferry oxygen in hemoglobin and myoglobin throughout the body, needed for chemical reactions in the body for making amino acids, collagen, neurotransmitters, and hormones. Sources include red meat, poultry, eggs, fruit, green vegetables, and grains. Potassium, its function, balances fluid in the body, helps maintain a steady heartbeat and send nerve impulses. Needed for muscle contraction, a diet rich in potassium has shown lower blood pressure. Sources include meat, milk, fruits, vegetables, grains, and legumes. And sodium, function, balances fluid in the body, helps send nerve impulses needed for muscle contractions, impacts blood pressure. Even modest reductions on salt consumption can lower blood pressure. Sources, obviously salt, soy sauce, processed food, and vegetables. I'm going to hold it there. Like I said, I wasn't going to read them all because that, I'll be honest, is not very exciting listening for you, the listener. Hopefully that was useful, especially that first one. Like I say, if you don't want to go and buy the book, which is available on Amazon, by the way, and you want the full list of those macronutrients and micronutrients, just send me a message and I will send them to them. I've got the original copy of this book saved on my laptop, so it's not any extra work or anything. I can just send it over. The next chapter is all about sleep, which could be really interesting because this actually could be something that I may have changed my mind on a little bit, and then hydration. So sleep and hydration is the next one before we move on to a little bit of psychology, which my understanding of psychology and the psychology of fat loss, I think, is drastically improved since writing this book. So the next couple of chapters, I think, are going to be really, really interesting. Hopefully it's some use anyway. Let me know, as always. and I will see you on the next episode.